The words of Thomas Merton, "When the Shoe Fits." Chewy, the draftsman, could draw more perfect circles freehand than with a compass. His fingers brought forth spontaneous forms from nowhere. His mind was meanwhile free and without concern with what he was doing. No application was needed. His mind was perfectly simple, and he knew no obstacle. So when the shoe fits, the foot is forgotten. When the belt fits, the belly is forgotten. When the heart is right, for and against are forgotten. No drives, no compulsions, no needs, no attractions. Then your affairs are under control. You are a free man. Easy is right. Begin right and you are easy. Continue easy and you are right. The right way to go easy is to forget the right way and forget that the going is easy. You got that completely, right? Made perfect sense. Begin right and you are easy. Continue easy and you are right. The right way to go easy is to forget the right way and forget that the going is easy. The second time I'm sure helped. Perhaps the reason it is so difficult to wrap one's mind around those last few simple statements is because it's been a long time since things were easy or simple. It's been a long time since it's felt like there was a choice in the matter. To clear the mind, to let go of the for and against, it's been a long time since it's all felt in control. Do you remember the last time? Out there or in here? So often we come into this space because the outside world is in a state of such flurry, such rush, such chaos at times, and certainly at this time. Here we seek to find a place and a people where for 1 hour we know what will happen, when to sit and when to stand. Even though you don't know the words that will be spoken from the pulpit, you can trust the sentiment and goal that it's shared, that it will hold. We can breathe a little easier, relax our bodies just enough to realize that we live within them, connect with loved ones in the flesh in ways that are both bold and open, because there is something here that we know. And that sense of control is life-giving, certainly at this time. But the reality is, this place is no more simple nor easy than all that exists outside of it. And that has been weighing on me. The days when the pastor's role was solely to preach and companion have been dead long before I was alive. This place is a school and a retreat center, a facility that most often has working plumbing. It is where we challenge ourselves and be cared for, to cook and grieve, to celebrate new life and also the ancient, always persistent cycles of the earth. And so, so much more. There is a lot going on here at UUCWC. And if you don't feel like you know this place, if you don't have that sense of control of arms wrapping around it or around you, then the few things we can promise during today and all the times to come, hope, grounding, nourishment, encouragement, we will simply be adding to the chaos of out there. We will be the too tight belt and the old worn shoes, the things that should support you or hold you up while you pray with your feet. This place needs to support us because we are going to need to pray with our feet. So here's what I want to do with the rest of the time that I have with you for my sermon portion. It's not a typical use of our time. And so for our newcomers, I hope that you hear this with an open heart and mind, and also hear the exciting trapeze-like moment that we are in as an invitation as well. I want to make sure that you know about a few really important things that are happening in the life of this congregation right now. I want you to know who we are and where I think we're headed. I want you to feel some sense of grounding and control. Does that sound okay? I don't have another sermon, so I'm hoping it does. That's my sense of control in this moment. Okay, so first, when I arrived as your minister in 2014, we had a membership roll, and we culled it down about 30 inactive names from the membership list. It made it look like we were healthily above that mid-size point that congregations our size strive for, and then that I shrunk us down to around 230-something members. By the end of that year, we had a net growth back to 250 members. 2.5 years later, our membership number, folks who are both signed and give financially, is 272. In addition to that 272, we have 38 people who give financially but who haven't signed the membership book for a whole host of different reasons. These are what we call friends. And on top of that, there are 29 individuals who we can identify that come about twice a month and who are engaged in either adult or children's religious education, which means that we are a congregational system of about 340 adults, about 110 children and youth, with 2 full-time employees. I'm just gonna let you think about that for a second. And think about that compared to where we were during that transition period between Charles and me. Now, just to keep going with this for a moment, looking at that membership number of 272 members, 61 of you signed the book in the last 2.5 years. That's 22% of the membership in less than 3 years. 27 of you, in addition to that, joined after Reverend Charles retired. That means that 33% of this congregation's membership may not have recognized the longest serving minister of this congregation when he was in the pews 2 Sundays ago. I want us to really think about that for a minute. It's not just a numbers conversation. A lot has changed in the last 5 years. The culture has shifted, intentionally or not. Expectations are different. Our personality or tone on a Sunday is different. Our activism is different. Our staff has grown or changed focus, and 1/3 of us don't know what it's changed from. I needed to know those numbers for 2 reasons. The first is that after a lot of conversation and consultation with the personnel committee, who met with the leaders of this congregation last year on numerous occasions, we have been actively seeking to hire an intern minister for the next church year. Someone who could assist in pastoral care and religious education, someone who could help make intentional points of connection between long-term and new members, someone who could help represent us in other parts of the ministry that are being neglected, a voice in Trenton, or even evening vespers. Now, I've been waiting to preach a sermon on why having an intern is basically the best commitment a congregation can make since I was an intern. That is not this sermon. I'm still going to do that one. Before or if we move forward with anyone, I will preach that sermon. What's important for you to know now is when I've wondered in the last few months if this person is really needed, I look at those numbers again. And I think, of course. course the staff is running ragged. Of course we have only enough room to hack away at our to-do lists. Of course we crave space to be creative, to do better, to serve this people in ways that could deepen or strengthen our potential. We take our positions here extremely seriously. We are so proud and in awe of who we get to be in community with, who we get to serve. And a lot can't get our attention. It weighs on our hearts. The other reason I needed to know those membership numbers is because the other day, after many months of discussion, all started more than 5 years ago with our strategic plan. New folks, we have a strategic plan. And then, given urgency when the property next door went up for sale, the board has implemented a strategic visioning task force, the group that will begin the work of a capital campaign. You're going to be hearing a lot more about this, and primarily from Jamie Trott, who's sitting in our congregation this morning, who's incredibly agreed to chair this group. But again, here's what I want you to know today. In this time of asking, what can I do? And I don't mean here, I mean in the world right now. What can I do? There are some pretty concrete answers coming from some pretty grounded and smart people. The first, out of a recent Courageous Love workshop, is to commit to community. Multi-generational community. Find your people of mutual trust, accountability, connection, and care. Build real relationship, they say, in all of its messy reality. We need people who will watch our kids and bring us food, and for whom we will do the same. We need to laugh and sing and hold babies and listen to our elders. The second answer they offered, live from faith. So that's not always the phrase you use might lean on, but now is the time to dig deep into this tradition that can sustain us in the midst of heartbreak and brokenness. We must find and keep up sustaining spiritual practices. As a colleague of mine, Gretchen Haley, writes, a spiritually based framework is critical for these times. And last, third, serve. Do something, not everything, but find some way to act, and not just on Facebook. Serve where you are with the people you already know. Choose to act, to risk discomfort. Serve in small and also big ways. Everything counts. The whole world, they say, doesn't have to be fixed in order to fix the world. We just have to keep tipping the scales little by little, drop by drop. This may not get fixed in our lifetimes, so pace yourselves. A capital campaign will have nothing to do with making this place shinier or better than some other religious organization down the street. If we succeed at raising the funds, it will be so that this multi-generational community can live from its faith and continue to tip the scales, bend the arc toward justice, and all the while strive to keep us grounded and our hearts connected. We're doing a really incredible job of this all right now, but not without apologies to the neighbors for parking on their lawns, or making sure folks who have mobility challenges can participate without an elevator. Who really knows where we're going to put this hypothetical intern anyway, let alone an adult education opportunity during one of the services when the classrooms each Sunday are entirely filled. These are just a few things that are this place right now, this people. It's all in formation, just as much as it will always be the people who began in that shoe store in Trenton 100 years ago. We are still the people who sanded and painted these beams by hand. We are also the person who walked in for the first time today and will discover this place to be home. this living community whose promise is the living tradition. I want it to be something you can wrap your arms around and also feel enveloped by. I want you to know what's happening in your community, to feel some sense of control in an otherwise out of control time. I want to invite you to be a part of it, to do something small or big, to make sure you are known and know others. And also to help our committees and ministries along when your two full-time staff members can't. I want you to know how appreciated you are, how amazing this community is, how this is not, I need to hear, make sure you hear this, this is not promised in any other doors that you walk into. Throughout our neighboring districts, I just found out this last Tuesday, Robin's colleagues are losing their hours or their jobs. And my colleagues are talking about the dis-ease and dis-health of their people. All the while, I meet with 30 of our newest members the other night, and the take-home reflection from one of them was, everyone here is just so happy. Well, maybe it's not happiness that we are. But I do hope whatever it is that is being felt is a sense of coming home. May this place offer some rest, some holding, some sense of grounding, so that we may go out into the world renewed for the work to come. Maybe we were meant to fly. Blessings to you, and blessed be.